Help him, Lord, help him.
All right. Our first passage for this morning comes from Ruth chapter 4 from the Old Testament. In Ruth chapter 4, we read, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and she bore a son. Then Ruth said to her mother-in-law Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. The son shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her chest and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David." And from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Philippians, from chapter 2, listen again for God's word. Paul writes to his Christian friends saying, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. This past Sunday, I wasn't here in church because I was down in North Carolina for a special occasion. I got to witness the wedding vows and the marriage ceremony of some of my really good friends, John and Stacy. The biblical book of Ruth is also in part the story of a marriage. Before the story gets to that happy ending, though, the story of Ruth is a story that takes a lot of difficult twists and turns. At the beginning of the story, Naomi and her husband and her two sons are facing a desperate situation. There's a drought and a famine in their country. Now, normally they would have been able to provide for themselves using their family's farm, but without rain, they can't grow crops, and so they're facing starvation. And so they have to make the difficult decision to flee their land and become refugees in the nearby land of Moab. Now, in Moab, they're able to scrape by, but it seems like disaster is following them at every step, because in a short period of time, Naomi's husband and then both of her sons die. And Naomi is left with just herself and her two Moabite daughters-in-law. And they're left to fend for themselves. And that's not a great situation for women in the ancient world. As women in an ancient culture, they had very few options for how they could provide for themselves. They lived in a world that was controlled and commanded by men. And without a man in their lives, they were almost completely powerless. So Naomi decides that her best option is to return home. And her daughter-in-law Ruth stays by her side. Naomi's hope is that someone in her home, someone from her own family, a kinsman, will do the honorable thing. Naomi's hope is that someone from her own clan will step up to take responsibility for Naomi and Ruth. Her hope is to find what Scripture calls a kinsman redeemer. Boaz is that kinsman redeemer. In the book of Ruth, Boaz is presented as a hero. He takes Ruth as his wife, and he welcomes Naomi into his household as a mother-in-law. Boaz redeems. He gathers in. He gives a home and a place to these women who are otherwise without help or home. Readers of the book of Ruth know that Boaz is supposed to be regarded as the hero, but many throughout the years wonder, what takes Boaz so long to do the good and the right thing in this story? Why does it take so long for Boaz to redeem Ruth? Way back in the beginning of chapter 2, Boaz meets Ruth, and he learns about her and Naomi's desperate situation. He understands the challenges that they face, that they're hungry, and that they need help. In chapters 2 and 3, Boaz is a nice guy. He's helpful. He gives them food. But he doesn't act immediately to redeem them and to bring them into his house. Chapter 4 is all happy and glad. Boaz and Ruth are married and they have their son Obed. But in chapter 3, we readers are left scratching our heads. While his own fields are being harvested, he's helpful to Ruth and Naomi. But as soon as the harvest season comes to a close, Boaz doesn't act to do what we hope he will do. He doesn't immediately gather Ruth and Naomi into the care of his household. Instead, Boaz follows the status quo. He goes about life as normal. He goes to the threshing floor where his newly harvested crop is being processed. The readers of the book of Ruth in chapter 3 were left wondering, Boaz, what are you doing? Who's going to help these two ladies if not you? It takes Ruth essentially proposing to Boaz in a desperate act that is dangerous that gets the story moving. Ruth has to go to Boaz alone at night at the threshing floor. She goes out alone, a young woman without protection. She goes out alone and meets Boaz. Now, thankfully, everything works out, but Ruth is forced to take a desperate risk to get that ball rolling on her eventual redemption. Hearers of the story wonder, what's going on with Boaz? What's going on? Well, what's going on is this. Doing the right thing is always much harder, much more complicated, much more difficult than just following the status quo. Boaz eventually does what is right in God's eyes. He leaves the status quo behind. He leaves the normal course of his life. He leaves the threshing floor, and he acts to redeem and to care for Ruth and Naomi. Chapter 4 is the story of Boaz doing that complicated and difficult work. He leaves the threshing floor. He goes out into the city. He finds the elders of the city. He deals with the legal issues of redeeming Ruth and Naomi. It would have been easier to stay at the threshing floor. It would have been easier for Boaz to just stick with the status quo, deal with his crops, and leave things the way they were. But Boaz chooses to do the hard and difficult work of redeeming Ruth and Naomi and welcoming them into his home and ensuring them a better future. In this way, Boaz is a model of God's love and God's care for us. Boaz's willing self-sacrifice, his willingness to allow his life to be shaken up, makes him a forerunner, a prototype of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Within Scripture, we hear that Jesus is our Redeemer. And in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul reminds us that Christ gave up the comfort and the tidiness of his place in heaven to come to earth for the sake of redeeming us and incorporating us into God's household. Paul tells us Christ did not regard his place in heaven at the right hand of God as something to be exploited for himself, but he gave it up to come here to our broken world full of broken people like us to help us in our time of need, to redeem us into God's care. We were hungry for spiritual nourishment, and Christ came to fill us up and give us life. We were without a place to call home. We were lost in the wilderness. We had been claimed and captured by forces other than God who attacked us on every side. And Christ came as our Redeemer to conquer those forces of evil and to gather us back into God's good care. Christ came and took us under the powerful wings of God's loving care. And Christ, like Boaz, gave us a true and a better home, a true and a better future. These actions that Christ took for us, they came at a price. To be our Redeemer meant shaking up the status quo for Jesus. It meant leaving the safety of heaven. It meant enduring temptations in this life, in this world. It meant facing sorrows and pains. For Jesus, ultimately, it meant enduring even the pain of the cross and death itself. He faced death to redeem us from death's power. Jesus did this for us, and he continues to put up with the trouble of loving broken and imperfect people like you and me. I don't know about the rest of you, but sometimes I can cause a lot of trouble. I am not perfect. I make mistakes. I hurt the people that I care about most, and I let God down. When I read the story of Ruth, when I read Ruth chapter 4 and I see Boaz leaving the threshing floor to go out into the city to do all of the business that he needs to do to welcome a new wife and a new mother-in-law into his household, I wonder, would anyone ever do all of that just to adopt me into their family? According to Scripture, the answer is yes. For Jesus being our Redeemer means putting up with us and all of our mistakes. It means being patient with us, even when we mess up. For Jesus being our Redeemer means being willing to work on us and to work with us. It means that he has promised to never leave us or give up on us, but that he has committed himself to us, and that no matter what, Jesus will stick by us to give us grace and motivation and the help we need to turn our lives around and to stay on the better path. For Jesus to be our Redeemer, it means taking us as we are, with our sins, our mistakes, our issues, our problems, and our troubles. Jesus is willing. He's willing to bring us into the household of God's love because Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And Jesus loves you. Jesus loves us so much that even with our mistakes and our faults and our failings, even with our needs and our troubles, Jesus loves us so much that Jesus has paid the great price to welcome us, adopt us, and redeem us into God's family. Christ has shown us this great love and has become our Redeemer. And the Apostle Paul encourages us to have that same heart and that same mind. He encourages us to have that same heart and mind that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that is our calling. It is to see one another as siblings in the family of God, and let us do our best to love one another as Christ has loved us. Amen.